Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. You know, there's just something about this time of year. The sweet times are especially sweet, but the hard times feel especially heavy, don't they? Maybe for you right now, life isn't how you wished it would be. Maybe you're grieving the loss of a loved one or feeling the pain of a broken relationship. And you find yourself maybe wishing the holidays would just be over because this, you know, this season amplifies so much. It is the most wonderful time of year because we celebrate Jesus' birth. But we want to be real about our pain and our hurt and the stuff that this season so often kind of pushes to the surface. What if Jesus invites you to invite Him to be a part of this part of your story so that you could actually heal? Instead of wishing it could be over, instead of numbing out so you don't have to feel it, what if you invited Jesus in to heal it? I mean, what if you experienced a Christmas miracle? It's possible, you know? Counselor and spiritual director Pamela Nelson joins me today to talk about grief, disappointment, and healing this holiday season. And I want you to know she comes today armed with some really amazing free resources you'll find in today's show notes. And this is how they're found, because sometimes Angela will get these emails. How do I find the show notes? The resources can be found in the show notes by going to to find the show notes, you go to myfaithradio.com, you select programs. You find my show, Suzy Larson Live, then you just scroll down to the post for today's show and you click it there and there you are. So when you click on today's show, there you'll find it. And hopefully that helps you. But you can also find them on Pamela's website, singlestepconsulting.org, singlestepconsulting.org. I've got a quick announcement before I introduce Pamela, but I got a question for you as we get going here. And I'll consider every single text today anonymous, because this is a pretty raw, honest question. I mean, calling for a raw, honest answer. What are you grieving? What's your loss? What's your disappointment? Or maybe another way to ask it is, what's your hardest relationship? You can say that any which way. You can maybe say you're grieving the loss of your spouse or the death of a relationship, or this is my hardest relationship. How would you answer that? Can you text me 877-933-2484? And I often ask these really raw, you know, unfiltered questions so that you know that you're not alone and that we are in this together. We're not, you know, tiptoeing around hard issues. We're going after it because, you know, sometimes you got to feel it to heal it. And God wants to bring healing, redemption, and flourishing back into your life. So what are you grieving? What's your disappointment? Or what is your hardest relationship right now? Text me 877-933-2484. Quick announcement. You know that we are very committed to reading the Word here at Faith Radio. And so we've got the Reading the Bible Together initiative that goes along with reading plans and podcasts and all kinds of things. So you can download a free Advent reading plan on our website at myfaithradio.com. Okay, now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Pamela Nelson is an ordained pastor, experienced biblical counselor, and spiritual director who's been supporting people on their healing journey, as well as mentoring and coaching individuals for the last 30 years. She served in the church as an executive pastor, creative arts director, and women's ministries director. She's authored a children's book, Make Good Choices, and a soul care reflection journal to help care for the hearts of to help care for hearts at this season. Sorry, I tripped over that. Pamela, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Suzy. It is such an honor to be with you, and especially the beginning of the celebration of our Christmas season, our holidays, our holy days. Just really honored to be with you and have a whole team of people praying for all of our listeners here today.
Wow. Thank you for that. I know you take every encounter and experience and engagement so seriously. That's one of the things I love most about you. You don't phone it in. You don't wing anything, Pamela. I've been knowing you for years. And if you've given a yes to your calendar and a yes to someone, you do all kinds of preparation to get to that yes. And That's why you glow with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to honor that in you. I appreciate that so much. And the fact that you've got friends praying. Friends, if you're listening who are praying, we bless and honor you today as well. We say thank you. But Pamela, you know, I ask the same question every day on the show. And so here it is for you. What's the Lord been talking to you about these days?
Yes, it is from Ephesians 3, and I want to just read from the scripture in verse 17 and 18. It says, Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and I pray that you, and I want you to put your name in there, listener. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And there is a couple things about this scripture. When you think of being rooted and established in unconditional love, that we show up into our holidays, we show up into our minutes and our moments and our days from love, not looking to go into our day looking for love or to be validated by other people, but that out of the overflow of us being in that rooted and grounded love, that we experience what Paul says is the measure of all the fullness of God, not just the fullness of God or God, but imagine it. All the fullness of God, because we need all of that today, Susie. It's hard. Things are hard. And we need to be rooted in that unconditional fullness, in the fullness of God. And listener, all of that fullness is for you today.
Beautiful. Wow, thank you so much. Well, let's talk about how our hurts and losses and our disappointments surface, especially so at the holidays, and even they feel heavier at this time.
Oh, they absolutely do. There is a lot of joy around this season, but there is a sense, especially if we have lost someone recently, or even honestly, this month is the 20th anniversary of the loss of my dad. And I go back to what I was doing 20 years ago. I can remember it and recall it, Susie, like it was yesterday. And so, you know, we have this, Hallmark version, many of us, of what the holidays are going to look like. And we see all of these things, and there's a lot of joy, and there is. We have, these songs that we sing that say tidings of comfort and joy. And why do you think it is that we say that? It's because we live in the tension of both. And when there is somebody missing at the table that we've seen before, or someone that we experienced a tradition with, or that love that we were just talking about, someone who overflowed that love to us, we naturally grieve. And if we haven't perhaps grown up in a family that ever normalized grieving, it also makes this holiday experience extra tense for us. And we can live with the weight of that, Susie.
So true. You know, some people grieve the death of a loved one, and some grieve maybe the death of a relationship. And Pamela, I've heard people say that it's harder to grieve someone who's still alive, who's rejected you, than to grieve someone who's passed, who really loved you. And I know these are two very different circumstances, and both are excruciatingly painful. But I'd love for you to talk about both of these kinds of losses, because especially people who've walked through both, maybe they've lost someone who loved them, so they deeply miss that person, but they also have lost a relationship because someone chose to walk away or to cut them off. That's devastating in itself as well. So I'd love for you to speak to both, if you would.
Yeah. Oh, Susie, just thank you for speaking to that, of those that have lost someone who is still alive, or a relationship that has changed, or a relationship that has been cut off for whatever reason. In the resource that I have linked on our show notes, there's a whole section talking about losses that we grieve. And part of that is this loss of a relationship that perhaps was one way, and now for for whatever reason, there has been a shift in all of that. And it is a grief that is oftentimes very, very hard to define. And we as a culture do not know how to come into that space. And we experience all the stages of grief just as if there was a loss of someone who passed and their heart is no longer beating. But there is a confusion and a sense of rejection, and our brains can spin out trying to walk through what was it that I did, or could I have done something different? And then there's the very real reality that this person often is in our circle. And so they know people that we know. We have still a connection with others who are in our family system. And so really what we need to do, along with the loss of someone whose heart has stopped beating, is that we need to give ourselves permission to walk through the stages of grief and name what it is that we are feeling. In the resources, there's a whole couple sheets of emotions and feelings that are there. And at a time where we experience that same shock, whether it's been in a divorce or a fracture, or whether someone's heart has stopped beating, oftentimes it's hard for us to know what it is that we're feeling. And so having a sheet in front of us to be able to say, it's this, I feel numb, or I feel isolated, or I don't even know where I am at. We also need to have, Susie, our battle buddies. We need to have trusted friends that come into our life that allow us to cry. Anger is a stage of grief, Susie. And you need to know that Jesus, it's been documented that he experienced 39 emotions and he did not sin. And some of them were deep grief and anger for an injustice. And we have injustices that happen, obviously, in the world right now. There's such injustice. And we can have that anger arise within us, but it's what we do with it that then is our responsibility. And it is our responsibility to say, God, I need you to take this from me. I do not understand. And so it's so helpful. I just do want to invite people to go seek a professional counselor, be able to get out all the words. It is like squeezing a sponge to be able to say everything that we need to say in a safe environment. And also, friend, if you have experienced someone who has lost their heartbeat and they are no longer with us, I am so sorry for your loss. And I just want to say that in this space, you as well need to ask for what you need. Oftentimes, especially with a recent loss, as female caregivers, if you're the primary caregiver for your family, you end up caregiving for everyone else except yourself. And you need to make sure that you have a couple close friends who are helping you attend to you, especially right now in this season.
Boy, that's so good. As we go to break, we've got a few minutes before break, but I want to read some of these losses, friends. And what I've asked you to do is text in to tell me, what are you grieving, or what's your life or heart disappointment, or maybe what's your toughest relationship? Here's the number. Text me, 877-933-2484. I'll consider all of these texts anonymous. This dear one says she's grieving deeply the loss of her marriage and the family as it was. And that's the thing, if the marriage ends, so let's say the marriage relationship breaks down, everything in the family structure changes. So there's multi-levels of grief there. And I may have you speak to that on the other side. This dear one says grieving the lies of homosexuality in her son's life. This one, grieving the loss of her mom who passed away this March. Continue to grieve, the loss of her 9-year-old grandson. 3 years ago. How do you ever get over that? Grieving the loss of 23-year-old beautiful, precious daughter to a tragic accident this past summer. Oh, friend, I wish I could wrap you up in a hug. Yeah. Besides my failing relationship, I'm grieving, disappointed with myself. Pamela, we'll have to talk about that one, too.
Yes.
Pamela is my favorite guest. She really overflows with Jesus' compassion. I think my biggest grief is the action or inaction I've taken due to fear, depression, or doubt. I struggle with intrusive thoughts. What if? What if you don't shrink back? What if you didn't shrink back a year ago? What if you just worked harder? what if you just worked harder? Maybe you wouldn't be where you are now. Yeah. In a little while, we'll talk about connection, fear, and avoidance, and how fear keeps us from moving in and moving toward the things that God has for us. And Jamie Winship, who we have on often says that fear, the enemy's trying to build a wall with our fear to block the very place that God wants us to go, the very place that God wants to take us. There are more here, and I will read those on the other side. But also in a little bit, we're going to talk about grief, in that everybody grieves differently, but there is such a thing as unhealthy grief and healthy grief. It's really important to know and to make a distinction between those two, because there's a way to grieve in an unhealthy way that 6 years from now, you're still in a dark place under a dark shadow. That's not what God wants for you. There's a way to do this that leads you to a place of healing and wholeness. Talking to Pamela Nelson today, and we're talking about, this is what happens oftentimes in the season, is especially with the backdrop of what looks like everybody's living their best life. It's when we feel our hurts the most. But, and our temptation, as you heard me talk about last Friday, is to numb out because everybody else is doing it. But my invitation, God's invitation to you, is invite Jesus into this part of your story and see if he doesn't bring a healing that you never saw coming. More with Pamela Nelson in a moment. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Christmas is my favorite time of year. I remember back in our young years when we were struggling to make ends meet, and someone surprised us with bags of groceries and gifts under the tree. All these years later now, we love to surprise others who have a need. Maybe you know someone who has a need this Christmas. You can give hope to someone this Christmas this year by sharing their story at myfaithradio.com. Help us help them and be a blessing to someone this year on myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Today we've got our friend, she's a spiritual director, life coach, and counselor, Pamela Nelson, on the show to talk about grief, disappointment, and healing amidst the holiday season. And I've asked you to text in to tell me, what are you grieving? Or maybe what's your heart disappointment? Or another way to ask it is, what's your hardest relationship? Maybe sometimes you're grieving someone who's passed. And you had a beautiful relationship, and that's one kind of grief. Sometimes you're grieving someone who's still living, but they've chosen to walk away from you, and that's a whole different kind of grief. And some would say it's even more painful because of the rejection associated with it. So we're walking through how to navigate hard things and to find Jesus in this holiday season. And Pamela, just because I want everybody to feel heard and seen, I'm going to read the texts that have come in thus far, just let you comment on them, and then we'll move into talking about healthy and unhealthy grief. But this dear one, deeply grieving after the loss of marriage and family as it was. This one, grieving the lies of homosexuality and how they've impacted her son's life. Grieving the loss of her mom, who passed away in March, and then the loss of her 9-year-old grandson 3 years ago. Cannot even imagine. Grieving the loss of her 23-year-old daughter to a tragic accident this past summer. Besides a failing relationship, grieving and disappointed with herself. This one said, Pamela's my favorite guest. She said, I think my biggest grief is the action or inaction I've taken due to fear, depression, or doubt. I struggle with intrusive thoughts. What if? What if you didn't shrink back a year ago? What if you just worked harder? Maybe you wouldn't be where you are now. This one, my hardest relationship with this with myself. God bless you, dear one. My dad grew up in an abusive home, physical, emotional, mental. My husband and I were saved about 8 years ago, and all four children. The Lord's redeemed so much of our lives. We've been praying for salvation for many family members, especially dad. He's still so angry and bitter. Recently, I'm helping him as my mom's health is failing. I rely daily on the Lord for strength to love him, even when it's so very hard. You are an amazing believer, dear one. My goodness. Estranged from 36-year-old daughter, she's gotten into witchcraft, and we can't agree on anything. I feel the Lord is putting an emphasis on the refining work he wants to do in my marriage. Some issues are painful. I'm certain the Lord is using this moment to stir up and address some of our past hurts to allow God to heal us and grow us in the way that only he can. God loves marriage and vows, and we take each other to God, and we take to each other the vows we make to each other and to God and are precious to him. Just pulled up to the cemetery to put fresh flowers on my husband's grave. today marks 9 months since he passed away, 2 weeks after following an unexpected pancreatic cancer diagnosis. My goodness. Wow, honey. Rejoicing in God's faithfulness, yet so missing the love of my life past 40 years. Oh, dear one, I'm trying not to cry. She says we encourage her. I'm so grateful. My mom cut our family off years ago due to mental illness, and I've always said it would be easier if she'd passed. Lost my dad 2 years ago. I still stand that it's harder for me to have lost someone still alive. That's what I was saying. I think that's true. I mean, I know they're different, but this dear one, grieving the son who could have been if he hadn't been born with a cognitive disability. See, that's a different kind of grief. Loss of my husband of 41 years who passed away in June. Have severe chronic medical condition, which there is no cure. I mourn the loss of my health and the things I can no longer do because of it. I could weep, but I'm so grateful that these people texted in. Pamela, what do you have to say?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your vulnerability and your authenticity and sharing your stories. And truly that question, Susie, so powerful. What are you grieving? And I just want to thank the spectrum, because there is every single one of those things are individual. And every one of those individual losses cannot be compared to another. There is not one loss greater than the other. It's our loss that we are feeling. And at this time of the year, Susie, as we look at celebrating a birth, that in Matthew 1, 22 and 23, it says that we will call Jesus Emmanuel, because it means God with us. And that with us means that he came to come close to us, not be beside us, but be within us, to walk with us, to experience those emotions as we experience them as well, because Jesus did. In John 11, 35, it says that he wept because of the loss of his dear, dear friend. And so he is with us in all of those things that came in. And in C.S. Lewis has a beautiful quote here. I have it in the resource that's in the show notes. It says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. Mm. It is his megaphone to rise a deaf world. And John 10 says that we are his sheep, and his sheep know him, and they hear his voice. And I want to say that Jesus speaks that voice of love to you in all of these situations. There is nothing but comfort there and love in your questioning. And that he is okay with that space of questioning in every single stage of your loss, no matter what you are feeling. God does not have feelings that change for you. They remain and will never change, because God is love. And oftentimes we assign that he would be disappointed in us because we are disappointed in ourselves. For even sometimes how we walk through a hard situation with a loved one, whether they are living or whether their heart has stopped beating. But again, as that listener said, I go back and I ask myself, what if? And oftentimes that is the response of those who are left behind. Could I have done something more? And what I want to go back to, loved one, sister and brother in Christ, is to begin sitting with Jesus and ask him. He says that we can ask and we can seek and knock. And Susie, you mentioned Jamie Winship. And of course, one of the questions that he has encouraged us all as listeners to ask is, what do I need to know, God? And then what do I need to do? So I want to encourage all of us that in our specific place of loss, in our season of loss, what do I need to know? And then what do I need to do? Because if I'm looking to others, oftentimes the church is really uncomfortable with lament. We don't know how to do this well. Or we may even find, as I have some people that I'm working with, and they said, I feel so lonely and isolated because who I thought would show up for me has just fallen away. Mm. And if you know people who are hurting like this and don't know what to say, I want to invite you to just come and be with. In the Old Testament, they called that sitting Shiva, just sitting and allowing the person to lament grief. And there's a great quote on lament that, again, is in the resource. And it says, lament is the heartfelt and honest talking to God. So let me just say heartfelt. So my heart is breaking. And so my honest talking to God is going to sound like a broken heart. We're not going to clean this up or make it easy. You know what? Let's go back to Jesus coming into this earth. We wanted a warrior Messiah, but he came, Susie, as a baby, and he came through a birth canal. He had to be birthed through Mary's canal to come into the world through pain and through contractions and through a bloody, it's not clean in any way. And God came into the world in that way to meet us in our space of not cleaning up our grief. So we get to come honest and heartfelt. The first thing that Jesus did was cry. And oftentimes we don't know how to cry with others, but he then grew up and he wept. And so to finish out this quote, it says, lament is the heartfelt and honest talking to God through the struggles of life. Simply stated, lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. Because when I come vulnerably and authentically, what I'm doing is I'm saying, I don't know what to think here. But God, who says that I can trust in you and lean not on my own understanding, teach me how to do that as you show up for me in these places because I'm hurting. Bring people, show me yourself, Jesus. What do I need to know? And then what do I need to do?
Amen. As we go to break, I want to read a few more of these. And on the other side, we'll dig into how to care for yourself. We're going to make the distinction between healthy grief and unhealthy grief, and just some things that you can do as you navigate your emotions, your disappointments. There's things you can do. I often say, you hear people say, I wish there was something I could do. There's nothing I can do. That's just never true. There's always something you can do. Pamela offers in her resources some really great tips, caring for yourself, journaling your grief, releasing expectations that are maybe unhealthy. We'll talk about more of those on the other side, but I'm going to read a few of these. This dear one, she said, Susie, when you started talking about unhealthy grief and said if we're still grieving after 6 years of something happening, it's not what God wants. Well, it's where I find myself stuck, still grieving the deep pain of 3 years of infidelity in my marriage in the context of sex addiction. Too many details to share, but I often feel I should have left when it came to light 5.5 years ago. He shows true repentance, but my heart is having a hard time recovering from this as well, as an inability to fully trust and respect him. My biggest reason for staying was to maintain family integrity. We have 3 kids. Any help is appreciated. I wonder if you would speak to that, dear one, before we go to break. We got a few minutes here.
Yes. Thank you so much again for texting in that very, very real pain. And you said, I'm still grieving after 6 years. And, you know, oftentimes we're so much in shock that we just want to put it behind our mind. We want to set it behind like a locker of sorts and lock the door and pretend it didn't happen, detach from it and start to just go about the tasks of functioning. And that actually never helps us function. It shuts down a place in our brain. The same place in our brain, Susie, that processes deep grief allows us to then live. It processes deep joy. When we grieve hard and lament hard, it is like, it's truly is like a flushing. I don't mean to be graphic, but it flushes out of a space in our system, in our neurons that fire and allow then joy to come into that space. And then it happens again and again and again. But if at that point that this listener feels stuck, I just want to invite them that the Lord doesn't want you to live continually that way. Please, please go talk to a professional and get some help and start to journal and process and feel all of the emotions that you feel. And then in this space where you're struggling with trust, let me share with you that trust is built with repeatable, provable behavior over time. Trust is making what is valuable to me vulnerable to you. And so, you know, fidelity is valuable to me. And if I'm choosing to move toward you again, I'm making this vulnerable to you, but I am asking to see, not just hear with words, but see with your actions, repeatable, provable behavior over time. And I'm inviting others to help me see this as well, because often in that space where we have been betrayed and wounded, it's difficult for us to see the forest through the trees. And so I'm also inviting a few other trusted people to help me process your actions, because my wounded heart wants to believe, and yet perhaps actions do not equal what I need from you to be able to make what is valuable to me vulnerable to you again. And so listener, I pray for you right now that God would bring along godly counsel to be able to be with you on this journey. And first of all, know that God has promised in Romans 8, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He calls you his beloved, his daughter, and he's chosen to be with you right now. And he is and always will be faithful to you.
Amen. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the difference between healthy grief and unhealthy grief. Everybody grieves differently, but there's a point in time where the grief may take you on an unhealthy path. That's not life-giving. It's not healing. You're not moving forward in wisdom and life and hope. You're moving maybe downward in despair and discouragement. And so how do you know? And what are you to do? And we'll talk about just some of the components of healthy grief. Talking to spiritual director, counselor, life coach, Pamela Nelson. And we're going to get through this, friends. There's lots of friends who are hurting. Somebody texted in and said, I was going to text in. But hearing all these really deep hardships, they felt hesitant to share their loss. And on the other side, I think we got to talk about that too, Pam, that we can't compare pains, because sometimes the smallest thing may trigger an emotion and you can downplay it when if you follow and back kind of track, it usually is connected to a much deeper loss. And so you say this in some of the resources you provide, that we don't downplay the emotions. They're information. We need to pay attention and process them. You don't always have to understand them, but you do need to process them. Again, talking to Pamela Nelson. We'll be back in a minute. Hope you're having a really wonderful day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Pamela Nelson. She's a spiritual director, life coach, and counselor. Today's topic, grief, disappointment, healing, and the holidays. Have you noticed that? Around the holiday season, old hurts, buried hurts tend to surface. A lot of times, family issues surface, and people make jokes about it. They make movies about it. But it's really heartbreaking, because oftentimes we keep kicking the can down the field, right? We don't want to deal with things. And then you're sort of forced to when the holidays come and the relationship issues surface. We'll address that in just a little bit. But we've been talking about grief. And I've asked you to text in, what are you grieving? Where is it? What's a disappointment in your life? Another question is, what's the hardest relationship in your life? And I found it so interesting how many of you have texted, my hardest relationship is with myself. And again, that's one of the reasons this show exists, so that you can learn to live loved and follow Jesus, knowing who you are. But Pamela, let's talk, if we can, about the difference between healthy grief and unhealthy grief.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just start with that unhealthy grief, and maybe you find yourself here. The first thing is, I think I heard from one of your listeners who said, I didn't even want to text in because my situation wasn't as big as some of the things that I have heard here. And it's talking about comparative suffering. When we compare our suffering to another person, it diminishes the suffering that we are walking through. And suffering truly is any sort of outcome that we were expecting that we are not currently experiencing. There is a suffering in there. There is something that has been unmet. And we have a whole list of things here, the resources that could potentially prompt you to understand that, oh, what I am experiencing here is grief. And so that loss, where we can truly acknowledge that what did happen actually happened, and it is valid and worthy of grieving, and perhaps perhaps it isn't like some of the things that we have heard here, but if we diminish it, we're going to see it come out sideways. So Susie will see it come out in anger. We will see it come out in unhealthy behaviors. So I need to, I don't feel that I can talk about this to anyone. And so I need to be able to overeat or overspend or overdrink or numb out on Netflix or whatever it is. And what it is doing is that it's just distracting me, or I think it's distracting me, but I actually wake up the next morning and none of that is gone. So I have to repeat that over and over and over. And so those spaces of not naming, then we will not heal. You said at the beginning of the show here that we have to feel it to heal it. And so the first thing then to do in this space, rather than diminishing anything that we've experienced, is that we have to name it. And I also just want to say that, as you said, some people are most disappointed with themselves. If I can actually get out and do an exercise where I start to write down the names and the labels and the things that not only I have said over myself, but what I have received from other people. And then I just open my hands and I say, lover of my soul, unconditional love of God, would you show me and tell me how you feel about me? And in light of that, what do you want me to do with those things? And those things need to be burned and buried and whisked away, because it says that the Lord is going to meet us in those painful places, but not if I don't name what they are. So it's an exercise of lament. It's an exercise of journaling. It's an exercise of getting it out of my body and my mind and my soul and spirit and naming it, so then I can have the power of the love of God come in and begin to heal it for me. I want you to know that there's no timeline on grief. And so unhealthy grieving can be even receiving or saying over myself, I've just got to get over this. You need to know that this month is the anniversary of 20 years of my dad passing. And I had stories as I was putting together this grief resource coming over and over again in my head. And I felt that pain once again. And we will feel that loss. I feel it differently than I did in the beginning, because I was able to work through what I needed to. But Susie, when I lost my dad, if I can just take a second, I was serving full-time at a church staff. And my dad passed away on December 16th. He came home with hospice. I was there in the end when he passed, and then did his service on the 21st. And then for 1,000+ people, then offered up after that a beautiful, joy-filled Christmas Eve service. Mm-hmm. And I felt very out of body. It was this incredible loss. And then experiencing, you know, hark the herald angels sing. For me, I had friends that came along and held up my arms like Moses. And I need you to know that I did not really grieve until the following May. So I want to give permission to people who are having a hard time releasing right now, because I had this responsibility in a season that didn't afford me the time and space to be able to process my loss. And so at another funeral that I was actually helping with for a staff person at church, that is when all of the emotions broke. And God in his kindness let a slow leak happen between December, but it broke in that following May. And then I was able to take time, and God in his mercy allowed me to have some time to get away and to then pursue grief counseling, and actually being in a group with people, which is very healing and very healthy. There's a resource in a link to Grief Share. It is so healthy to be able to talk with others who are experiencing what we have to say, me too. So those are some things that mm-hmm. are difficult and not healthy, and some ways then of being healthy along with what I had to do in my own story, Susie.
So when we come back, we're going to play a clip of something you produced, a story, a Christmas story you tell about your dad that I think will help us all enter into that. Because we're all grieving something, I would imagine. I think everybody is grieving something or someone. And I want to make sure you hear this, friend, that healthy grief doesn't mean quick grief. There's no sprinting through the grief process. And as Pamela says, it's twists and turns and ups and downs. And my sense of the losses that I've had, it's so intense in the beginning. And then those intense ups and highs and lows spread out. But there are times, all kinds of time passes, and it still hits you with that same intensity. It's just that they're farther and fewer between. And but God is still with you. But when I talk about unhealthy grief, Pamela, I'm really thinking of that lament goes to self-pity, and self-pity goes to isolation, and isolation goes to accusing God, to the point where you watch a dark shadow hover over someone, and you see them all those years later, and they're bitter, and they can't see anybody else. They can't help anybody else because they're so identified by their loss. That's grievous to me. And you want to say a word about that quick before we go to break?
Yeah. And, you know, when we live in that place of being a victim unto our grief, and we blame and we're offended, and we're really offended with God, it becomes a poison for us. Mm. It is just like toxic. And we may as well have been really diagnosed with something ourselves, because we're putting it on ourselves when we choose to stay in that place of being a victim. We actually villainize ourselves, and we villainize others. We take sides. We pit others and our family against each other. But we need to be praying, the Lord, show me. And even today, I want to invite our listeners. Would you be vulnerable enough to ask those who love you, am I staying stuck in a place of being a victim? Would you help to give me another perspective and walk with me through so that I can process and release this? I don't want to villainize anyone. I want to be a victor and help to lead and bring compassion to others, but I'm not giving it to myself. And so would you be brave enough to ask someone if they're experiencing you like this, and then to help to walk you through a process to be able to be a victor on the other side?
Boy, that's so good. And there is hope for you, friend. And I think that when you understand how loved you are, you could have the courage to ask that. And I think you hear this with Pamela, and you hear it on lots of other shows that we do, that don't shy away from therapy. Don't shy away from safe, honest community. Think of all the times I've talked to Dr. Kurt Thompson about, you need people in your life that are saying, I'm not leaving the room. When your pain shows, I'm not leaving the room. And I'm not saying to ditch your current friends if those aren't those people, but prayerfully seek out the most godly people you know and see, can we connect once a week by Zoom? I mean, take some initiative to get in a community of people who are working as earnestly on their freedom, their wholeness, their prayer life as you want to. No more self-pity, no more victim mindset. And it does take a while to walk the path of grief, but we don't grieve as people without hope. We have hope, right? When we come back, I have a quick question. I'm going to ask you, we're going to play the audio clip. If we have time, this feels really important. And maybe we pick it up on the next time you're on the show. But the difference between a toxic relationship and an avoidant one, where people they're letting their fears sabotage a relationship that's actually not toxic, but for whatever reason, they're fearing and avoiding connection. So we'll talk about that if we have time. Talking to Pamela Nelson, and we'll be back in a moment. If you're a new listener, we want to officially welcome you with a free welcome pack gift. Request yours today at myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Pamela Nelson. She's a counselor, life coach, spiritual director. We've been talking about grief, disappointment, and healing, and the holidays, really praying that you invite Jesus to the middle of your story and ask him, heal me, reveal your heart to me, help me to know what lies I picked up when life let me down. I'll just tell you real quick, I'm having problems with my keyboard. I had a bunch of you that I wanted to respond to over the break on the text line, and my keyboard suddenly stopped working. But this dear one says, Dr. Troy told me, don't let pain become your idol. She says, yes, there's always hope. This one says, I'm tired of holding the victim title. So loving this conversation. People are really resonating, Pamela. And you said before the break, 20 years ago when your dad passed, and you just wrote this reflective piece and produced it to music. We're going to play it now. And if you've got a few minutes left, we'll see. But I don't know. We're running close to time here, but let's just play the audio clip. It's beautiful.
I was always an early riser. And as a child, Christmas morning could never come early enough for me. My parents were in the habit of leaving one present unwrapped and on display for a special cry of delight as I entered our living room Christmas morning. So waking up at 5 a.m. was not uncommon for me as I anticipated the surprises of Christmas Day. It was because of my father's sense of fairness for my brother and I, and knowing I would see the presents long before my brother would, that he began intercepting me at whatever early hour I woke up. My father would place himself somewhere between my point of entry and our tree and wait. He would sit facing my direction with his flashlight and coffee cup, waiting for me to come. Like a security guard protecting the vault, he waited in silence until he saw me, and then shine the flashlight in my face so as to blind me to the treasures that our living room held. I would squeal because he caught me, and then he would take me up into his arms. We would play a little mind game of how soon I would wake up my brother and mom so that I could go in to see what Santa had brought. Time passed quickly as he found ways to amuse and distract me. But one year, when I was a little older, the unimaginable happened. I was awake before he was. I couldn't believe it. My dad had been sick, and he wasn't there to intercept me. There was my gift in the shadows. I could see the framework, but I didn't want to go in. I had free rein. I could have entered our living room if I wanted to. There was no one stopping me. Then I realized that the gift was secondary. What I truly wanted was my dad. I wanted him to be there, and yes, to catch me. I wanted him to shine his light into my eyes and blind me to everything else but him. I wanted our special time, our little games we played to pass the minutes, the stories he would tell me, the hugs, how I would comb his hair to get him ready for the day, how he would make me burnt toast with peanut butter to pass the time while he tried to get me to love eggnog. Then, when I could stand it no more, I would wake up my mom and my brother, and we would charge to see the present of all presents. What I didn't realize was that I had already received it. This Christmas, I still anticipate my father is waiting for me, my heavenly father. He wants to shine his light into my Christmas season and say, wait, sit with me. Don't seek the gifts. Seek the giver. Everything will be more meaningful if you spend time and focus on me first. Commit your way to the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, it says in Proverbs. Allow Christ to shine his light into your life this Christmas. It will help you focus on what truly matters. It will help you focus on him.
Wow. That's breathtaking, Pamela. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. You know, in Psalm 34:18, it says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And that's the gift that he gives all of us today. Is that when we come to him with our broken heart, that he is near. It says also, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Not get over loss, not ignore it, not detach from it, but who mourn. And maybe we could ask, what is one small step that you could take to further heal today? What is one step toward that?
What a great, great question. And, you know, thus your counseling, singlestepconsulting.org, singlestepconsulting.org for those free resources, or you could get them on the show notes today when you go to our program page, Suzy Larson Live, to today's show. It'll be posted in a little bit, and you'll get some grief, some journaling resources, all kinds of things. Pamela, what a great show today. People are texting in, thanking you for the time. So thank you for sharing your heart with us.
Absolutely. And there's resources there too for the holidays to how to navigate those things as well.
All right. Bless you, friends. We love you. We're so honored to do this journey with you. You're not in this alone. We're doing this together. Take some steps towards healing and create some space for Jesus this season. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.